It helps us understand why sometimes, even if you speak about the Bible the whole time, or speak about your feelings the whole time, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have built one another up. Have you noticed that? Sometimes even we cry about our needs, but you walk away and I'm like, I wonder whether God was in the room. Or you talk about the Bible and afterwards you feel like, I don't think I had any revelation. It was just a good debate. And I don't know who won. I don't know if you've had those moments in small group. And the Bible, when you speak about fellowship, the means of fellowship mostly is verbal communication. Verbal communication is probably the biggest part of our fellowship. It literally means we talk to one another about God, or talk to God, or things like that. And this is a helpful diagram that comes from our marriage preparation notes, but it's really, really helpful. We get the five levels of communication, and I just want to share this because it helps. The first level is that whole, what's up, hello, was a cold day, was a hot day, how you doing? Those cliche conversations where it's meaningless, I'm simply just sharing, where we just that hallway talk, that old cliche conversations, where we don't necessarily, it's communication, but it's necessary, it's a means of connecting with someone at the till, or even when you walk in, it's a basis form of communication. The next level of communication is that reported talk, or factual conversation. And that's literally where someone gives a teaching, or someone talks about the word, or breaks up in the word, or talks about the word, or even how was your day, or let me tell you a testimony. I share what happened with me, but it's just I'm conveying facts. I'm telling you something. And sadly enough, sometimes a small group meeting or Bible study ends there. I'm telling you facts, and it doesn't edify. The next level is obviously where we share intellectually about that, where there's opinions. Chrobler shares something with the small group. The small group, anyway. And then Erika says, I think this, and then no. Then someone else will say, no, I think that, or I think that, or I heard that, or read. That's where reason comes in. And then the intellectual, I don't want to say debate, but conversation that is intellectually, where we feel and we understand and we try to understand what we have to do with this truth, or what God says about this truth. And the next level of communication, sadly, many small groups end there as well. So next level of communication is that where emotive talk, where you share your feelings, where you ask the question. It's a good question. So God says the gospel must be preached in all the world, and then the end must come. The Bible says that all must go out into the nations and make disciples. Not what do you think about that, but what do you feel about that? How does your heart feel about that? Well, the Bible says that God has demonstrated his love for you. How do you feel about that? Do you feel loved? And that's where we talk about our emotions. We share from emotions. That's where we cry in a place because we feel with, or God moves our heart. And that literally, that's a very good place to be. But the Bible speaks about a further place, and this is where we try to, this is the atmosphere that we try to get to in small group. And especially this year when we focus a lot on Bible study, I'm saying this because we have to move away from intellectual debate when we do Bible study. It has to hit our heart, not just emotionally, but in the next place, where it's a place of vulnerability, where someone asks you, so how do you feel about that? And you say, well, to be honest, I've never felt the love of God. I know the Bible says so. I can quote 20 scriptures, but I've never felt. At the moment, I really feel like a failure, and I don't think God loves me. It's a place of transparency, vulnerability, and that's where the Bible says where we have to open up. Or where you can sit across Jock in the room, and you say, Jock, to be honest, you're a great dad and a great thing, and I'll say, Jock, I wonder whether you've forgotten about Esther, your wife. And where you literally have the space in the small group to say, listen, man, your wife needs you, man. Your wife needs you. Where you can say this to him in an open, transparent place where you bring loving correction. Or you can say to Willem, I know you're going to buy a second or third car to put on your boat when you go across for holiday, but have you considered the people in Delft that they're not eating tonight? Where I can challenge you about your finances, based on scripture saying that the Bible says we should care for one another. There's a guy in your small group that's not eating. Should you consider buying a third car? I don't think it's a good idea. Where we bring loving correction. You get that place. So that's the place, the atmosphere of fellowship that we're going towards. Let me just speak about the means of fellowship, and I'm going to try to do this really, really quickly. the first fellowship we have with one another. And when I talk about this, please, I want you to consider that this is what you do in your home's Bible study when you and your wife pray together. And there's something which I'm really trusting God to actually step up in our own family as well. And I'm trusting that you do the same. And also when we get to a small group. So please, small group leaders and people in the small group. And even if you have a prayer meeting at work, please consider the five things that I'm talking about now, just as a means of thinking through until it becomes natural. For many of you, it is natural. But our first meeting of fellowship, and even when we come to churches, we don't just come together and we understand this. We come together to God. We come to meet with God, and that's the first attitude. And sometimes people think, yeah, why should I go to church? You come to church to meet with God. It's the first reason why you come to church. We come to meet God our Father. Not God my dad when I lie down in bed and talk to him, but God our Father. We come to give him his reverence, his worship. So there's a picture of people singing, but I want you to know that we don't just come to sing to God. We come to meet with God. First of all, primary place, come to meet with God. The second meeting, the second fellowship, and the Bible here speaks about so many scriptures where we have fellowship with God. It literally means we share in God. We share in the Spirit of God, Corinthians says. We've all been baptized in the same Spirit. We share in Christ Himself who lives inside of us. We share in God. And when we come together, we draw near to God and God draws near to us. We share in the life-giving power, the resurrection power of God when we come together. We share in God. We have fellowship with God. The second fellowship there is the Bible says that we have fellowship with one another. And it's also, it's one of those scriptures where we read over and over in the Bible. The scripture there says, consider how we can, that we shouldn't, to stir one another to love and good works and not neglect the coming together of the saints, that we should encourage one another. But we read in the Bible that when we come together, we have fellowship with one another. We engage and we share in one another by uplifting, teaching, building, correcting, loving, caring, whatever you're going through. When you're going through a tough time, Reiki, then the responsibility of the church is to have fellowship with them, to support them. The Bible says to yoke with one another and to carry their needs, Galatians 6 verse 2. So the Bible speaks of so many things. And guys, for most of us, you're getting it so right in this church. I know because my wife studied last year for a long period of the year. And for a long period of the year, partially she studied and partially she had a baby. Well, partially, one part of the year. And it also overlapped. It sounds really wrong what I'm saying, but you know, study is baby. We didn't cook for a long time just because of your fellowship. You're supporting with one another, bearing the needs of one another. But it also has a physical, financial sharing in it. But it's literally a carry, supporting one another and encouraging, instructing. So we come to small group to engage one another. The reason why I'm saying it, it's prevalent in the world, maybe not in this church so much, but prevalent in the world, we come to a church meeting or a cell meeting when I have a need. And I'm saying, that's good. But we come to have fellowship with one another because someone might have a need. Not just when I have a need. We come to have fellowship. The Bible says, speaks of the word in fellowship, and he uses the word sharing or fellowship, koinonia, metikos, a lot. When he says we fellowship in the word, and I did speak about this earlier. And obviously it will be clear this year, because for many of the small groups we will do Bible school. Not all of them, but many of the small groups will have Bible school. And if you want to enroll in Bible school this year, I want to really encourage you, there are sign-up sheets and also small group sign-up sheets there. Just write it down, we will contact you and find out what your need is or where you stay. But with a fellowship in the Word, we come to church and we come to the small group to study God's Word, to feed one another in the Word. And I'm saying this because it's so easy for us to come together to share opinions or thoughts or Facebook posts. Something you read somewhere and you're like, oh, the Dalai Lama said that. Is it a good idea to think about that thought? You know, what are the consequences of that thought? If Jesus said it, it's a good idea. If the Dalai Lama said it, I don't think it's such a good idea, you know? Or some of these Eastern mysticists. But it's literally to come to the Word of God. When we have fellowship, we must always center around the life-giving Word of God. And think about it and talk about it in such a way that it actually, that you really consider your actions, your behavior, and your attitudes towards this thought. Because it's Jesus said that he who hears and does these words, his house will not fall down when the crisis comes. And that's where we have to challenge one another. Not just do you hear the words, but do you do this? Do you build your house upon these principles in your marriage, in your parenting, and in your work and finance life? Do you do this? Fellowship in the Word. Fourth one, fellowship in the Spirit. The Bible says the wind blows. Jesus said the wind blows. You don't exactly know where it comes from. You don't exactly know where it goes to, but there's obviously proof in it, because look at the leaves of the tree. There's movement. And our life in Christ is always Spirit-driven. It's always moved by the Spirit. God's Spirit is always at work in us. Our spirit, our relationship with God is one in spirit and in truth. It's where God remakes us in the Spirit. It speaks about our identity, our core of our being. And therefore, when we come to small group, this is the challenge, that actually we engage one another, not just intellectually and not just emotively, not emotionally, but actually in the spirit place, the core of your being, your identity. And for some of us, it's a really different thing, but it really speaks about your identity and the core of your beliefs, that values that you hold on to, that you will not shake off. And that's the transformation, the place of transformation that Jesus wants to do in us. So when we come to small group and when we come to church, we have fellowship from that point. And that's why the Bible says we have to minister from that point. And it also speaks about the gifts of the Spirit. I don't just want to speak about the gifts when you speak about the Spirit, but it does mean that we minister in words. We listen to the Holy Spirit. We wait on God. A few guys really get this well, right well. Specifically, I'm thinking about Charles and Marika and those guys. I would so love to just spend some time in their small group, a longer time, because they really get it right. Where they literally, let's just wait on God together. Thank you. What is God saying? Let's move from there. Let's just hear, to train yourself to hear what God says. Not just to give one another a hug and love one another and leave it there, but to let's minister to one another from a place of God. And therefore, in every single small group meeting, if you want to have life, it must be the Spirit of life, the Spirit, the resurrection life of Christ that must minister to us from that point. The last part is maybe a demonstration, is Debbie and Anand and the team going on missions. This is Yvonne once just mentioned this 8 years ago. Thanks, Yvonne. And it stuck with me. The word fellowship literally means a few fellows in a ship. And it's such a beautiful picture. It's such a beautiful picture. The English word comes from that. To go on a boat together. And the point is, we're not cruising on a boat together, but anyone who's ever been on a boat knows that every hand must be on deck. That means everyone must do its part for the boat to go in one direction and to actually reach its destination. So it speaks about an interdependence, and it speaks about a cooperation and a partnership. And in many times, you'll see the word partnership here, and sometimes the word partakers also is used, but van die woord fellowship vertaal is van die Grieks af, van metakos en koinonia, then it actually is translated partnership, fellowship, and partaker. So literally to share in the burden or the load of making the ship move in the right direction. And this is, in short, practical fellowship. That means when we come together as believers in the small group, we understand that we have been saved and we are partaking of the gospel of Christ, but we must also be partners in the gospel of Christ. That means partners in the message of salvation of Jesus. So for a small group to be life-giving, there needs to be an outflow, a servitude somewhere. Somewhere where the demonstrating love and the grace of Christ flows from the small group, from the abundance that we've received. We literally take hands, take the oars, and we row together somewhere in a direction. And it's really essential. I know that in the past 2 years, we've done it. Last year, I think about 12 small group missions. I have reports of about 12 small group missions, of small groups that actually went to either Ladysmith or to Mariesburg or Malmesbury or Springbok, or places where you actually, the small group initiated something. What is God saying? Where should we go and serve? Where should we go and serve a church or community? Where we don't just serve the people around us, and that's really essential, but where we actually go somewhere together. Port Elizabeth, George. I know some of the small group outreaches transformed the lives of the small group, just like when Peter just said now. And I'm going to challenge you, for a small group to be life-giving, there needs to be somewhere where we take hands and the gospel of Christ doesn't just do something for us, but it does something through us We partner with God for the salvation of the world. Fellowship, really, really simple. I know we only had 10 minutes. I took 15. But fellowship, for it to be life-giving, for it to be not just another intellectual debate, not just another meeting where we hug one another, not just another place where we come together, it must be our intent to first of all meet with God, to share with God, to have communion with God. One or two of the small groups, I love it, have a habit of mostly spending the night in prayer and worship at least once a month. All we do is we just come together and we worship and we pray. That's all. We can pray for one another, but mostly we just have communion with God. We come and we meet with the living God. Secondly, we understand that when we come to small group, I actually engage you. I want to know where you come from, where you're going to, what your need is, because I'm here to serve you. I must have fellowship with you. I must interact with you. And for that, the Word of God and the Spirit of God must work through me to build you up and to edify you, to challenge you, to keep you accountable, to keep you on the track with God, to actually build you up. That we understand that we come together to make sure that you look more like Jesus at the end of this meeting than you did before, even if it means confrontation. And this is something that we're not comfortable with, but I want to say, guys, can we please move away from being afraid to step on one another's toes? If you're not a gentle person, we will help you to be gentle. But please, if you're a really honest person, please help us to be honest. Let us have fellowship in truth. Speak the word in truth, but let's have fellowship in truth. We actually help to grow one another into the image of Christ. Not the personality, but the character, the love, loving nature, serving nature of Christ. And then lastly, we partake of the gospel. It's a really, really short message. We didn't have much time today. We had a lot to think about. So I'm gonna simply close in prayer tonight. And there are quite a few new people here visiting us. Thank you for visiting us. I know the service was slightly longer than usual and a bit more complicated with many things that we did. But I truly hope that you had a meeting with God. So let's just close in prayer. And after the prayer, if you can just turn around and greet one another, offer someone a cup of coffee and invite them to your small group. Please, if you want to join a small group or a Bible study, a Bible school this year, you're welcome to sign up there at the info table very close to where Rian is staying. Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Debbie and Ronell and Ann and Peter, God, that went on a mission together. And we are so thankful, God, that they came back safe, God, that they weren't imprisoned on that side. They're really willing to be, but thank you that they were not. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for us as a church, God, that even as we partner to extend the gospel, God, I pray for us, Lord, that every time we meet in small groups, God, that every time we meet in church, God, that we will meet with the living God. That we won't just have a great vibe or great feeling in worship, God, but we will actually engage the living God, Lord. We will know that we've met with God tonight, and we've met with God's people, and this is how I've been transformed. But Father, we pray, Lord, thank you for the great activity in the church, the many activities that guys initiate. But I pray in Jesus' name again this year, Lord, that every single small group and every single Bible study unit, God, that there will be a partnership with you, God, that since we freely receive, that we'll be a life-giving unit, God, that also shares from the overflow of the life that we have, God. That in a deliberate and a constant effort, God, we will extend the kingdom of God. We will partner with you, God, to let your kingdom come, even as you instructed us to ask you to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome the new people, offer them some coffee, and invite them to your small groups.